This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. In every photographer's career, there are certain pictures that don't make it onto the film roll or the memory card. Maybe they just missed the shot. Maybe they were scared. Maybe they thought it would just be wrong to take that photo. Will Stacy's been a photographer for many years, and when reflecting on his body of work, he found that he was as interested in the photos he hadn't taken as the ones he had. Will started talking with other photographers and found out that many of them had had similar experiences. So he compiled a book of essays about the one that got away. Lisa Kozerski is one of the contributors.
There are always the ones that got away. They got away for a few reasons. Because I was living my life out and about with the camera. Like when I drove past the disaffected teenage girls in camouflage waiting for the bus that fall morning. Some sitting, some standing. Or there are the situations where I stop to stare too long before remembering to put the camera up to my face. Like when I've found myself lately sometimes staring at wonder at something, experiencing it. Then I come back down to reality and realize the camera's in my bag or even in my hands. There have also been many times that I just wasn't paying attention clearly enough to compose the right picture. There are lots of these, and they call them seconds, I suppose.
That is part of one of the essays in Will Stacy's new book, Photographs Not Taken, and Will joins us from the studios of WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania. Welcome, Will.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about Lisa's essay. It seems to capture some of the missed opportunities that many photographers experience.
For sure. I mean, it's starting off as a photographer, as an artist, I think one of the many roles that we play is to try to capture the world, to try to make sense and the attempt to understand our surrounding environment. And at least, you know, at least in terms of where this project began, for me, one of the reasons I fell in love with photography is being out in the world and allowing those moments of discovery to happen. And so in doing so, for me, as long as I've been taking and recording these moments with film, I've also been recording them in words on paper. And for me, the process is a seamless act. And as I've done this and collected dozens and dozens of journals filled with, you know, photographs not taken, books of photographs with no photographs in them, it became an idea a while back that it would be really interesting, instead of just a one-sided version of this, to have a broad range of diverse visions and perspectives to fill a book of photographs with no photographs.
Well, you know, and the idea of the one not taken, I think, that Lisa and you've just talked about is there are a lot of reasons for it. And in some cases, I'm thinking of Juliana Beasley's essay of the photograph where she sort of felt compelled to help. She was doing, I guess, a book on drunks in a bar. And in this particular case, she couldn't take the shot because she was too busy helping the guy. When you're a photographer, you're at the scene. And so that split personality, do I get involved or do I stand back and bring back the picture? I guess that's one of the things you have to cope with as an artist.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the infinite degrees and the fine line of having tried and failed and not trying at all, and all of those memories and experiences that haunt the consciousness of the photographer. You know, and in the end, too, it's when you take all of these different stories and experiences, and whether it's morality, whether it's for whatever reason of just allowing that experience to happen, to not jeopardize or ruin the fluidity of the experience by putting a camera in front of you and that moment, or whether it's fear or whatnot, whatever it is, at the end, ultimately, all of these, what they boil down to is failure and the complex relationship that exists of being a human being and, you know, the role of humanity and failure. And that no matter how much we achieve or succeed or what we do, we're still plagued with that role of failure, of the next, or even then, if you want to look backward, of, oh, I should have done that. Oh, I wish I had done that. And to me, it's those moments that a photograph is, you know, a set of facts in which the world has been composed inside a box. And it's ultimately within that box are just a set of details. And so it's in a specific time and place and light and blah, blah, blah. And it's in many ways the limits of photography don't allow in any way, shape, or form to get anywhere close to the moments of life and the moments that existed before the photograph, after it, or the days or weeks or moments that were nowhere a part of taking a picture.
But don't you think, I think in a lot of ways, I mean, you talk about the facts and the fact that it's circumscribed, it's in a box. That's true, but aren't the best pictures the ones that do capture the subjectivity? It's the ones that absolutely get into the heart and soul of the subject and not make it and make it more than an object. And therein lies the conflict, because if you have that – I guess here's my question. Does it take a certain personality to be a photographer to use an objective instrument like a camera that puts something between you and the subject and still capture the subjectivity? That strikes me as a different kind of human being.
Well, you know, in the end, it's as a photographer and you know, I mean, photography in all of its ideas and forms encapsulates many, many, many things. But one of them, you know, in terms of some of the photojournalists who have contributed stories, you know, if our country can send troops to die in a war, it's the job of the photojournalist to hold a mirror to that. And, you know, the photojournalist is not a soldier fighting. And in any attempt to connect and get as close as possible to that, in the end, it's that photograph, that photographer is not able to clearly get as close as possible. They're not fighting. They're not a soldier. Mm-hmm. So therefore, all of the mentality of whether it's urinating on a grave or whatever situations present themselves, there's some things and situations, no matter where it is or what it is, and whatever the subject is that is being depicted is not the photograph, is not the photographer. And it's the endless pursuit of trying to connect as an outsider and get closer to that moment.
Let's talk about the example you just raised. There is the essay of a photographer in Iraq who sees soldiers urinating on a child's grave, wasn't able to take that picture.
And trying to understand the effects of being a soldier of, you know, in this story also, Peter talks about this particular person wanting to get out and be out in the field. And, you know, I mean, it's even from Sunday's events of a soldier going out and killing 16 Afghan civilians. It's an atrocity, but it's also something that having not served for combat, you know, missions, that there's a lot of things we don't understand and which will never be able to exist solely inside that box. You know, it's there's a lot of stuff that can exist in a single frame. And perhaps it's whoever came up with the expression, you know, a photograph speaks 1,000 words was either lazy or a bad writer.
Well, we can contrast the story that we just told with a story by Chris Jordan. The photo he didn't take was of his son at a backyard barbecue. What happened?
And, you know, basically Chris talks and raises the issues of sometimes a moment, it just kind of flies by too quickly, and just the split second it would take to reach for your camera, that moment itself would be gone. And also, too, just the role that the camera plays between the one experiencing and being a part of that situation, and how, ironically, sometimes the camera can disconnect. As much as it's a tool to connect, and that, you know, sometimes as life, you know, it's better to experience the broad range of that moment and that experience, and that no matter how profound it is, that it's there is a line that as a photographer, one's, you know, we have it in our nature, and it's our instinct to perhaps reach for the camera and capture that moment. But
well, it is. It's interesting what you're saying here is this, that once you put that camera up to your face, the way you experience that moment is completely different than you would as a father without a camera in your hand.
Of course, and it's edited inside a box, and that there's other things and situations that exist well beyond that.
Tim Hetherington, photojournalist killed in Libya last year, has an essay in your book. I wonder what it was like for you when you found out that he and photographer Chris Hondros were killed in Libya.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it was an awful, horrible situation. I mean, in addition to all of the other journalists who have died covering the Arab Spring, you know, I mean, it was reading his story, and you know, I haven't really been able to kind of come back to it. And it's been tough. I mean, it's a weird situation to have that.
Well, there's Gregory Halperin has an essay in this about taking portraits on the streets of New York and how one man refused to have his taken. What does that essay tell us?
Well, I love his story, and then it ties in and goes into the moral circumstances and situations in which are always presented to the photographer. And, you know, perhaps some people think a lot during the actual process, and other people treat it as an instinctual dance, so to speak, in which you're just reacting and snapping. But ultimately, it's you are capturing a moment of time in more circumstances than not under 1 second. And then as a photographer, what you choose to present to the rest of the world, how that is perceived, how another complete stranger will look at that other complete stranger via you, the messenger, and what is the role of the messenger? You know, I mean, it's a hard place to be, and ultimately you're seen through that.
Well, Nina Berman's essay on this sheds some light, I think. I mean, here's an essay about her involvement with a young woman from London who had been terribly abused, addicted, actually found her way to New York where Nina lived, and they developed a kind of a relationship, professional relationship, although, as Nina says in the essay, she became her next of kin at some point. And then there were moments as intimate as they got, moments of profound intimacy when this woman was suffering from abuse and post-traumatic stress. She could take those shots, and other times when she just couldn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's... We all, I think, have those. I mean, we all have a huge inventory of those moments. I mean, personally, I have a ton of those moments. I was in New York and watched the second plane crash into the towers, and I watched the towers crumble. And, you know, I couldn't take a single picture of that. And sometimes there's just, it's too much to just lift the camera up to your eye. And that, you know, it explores the ideas and situations that arise. And there's, you know, all of these stories allow a, you know, the reader, so to speak, to peer inside the act of taking a picture. And that, you know, a lot of that is really rarely seen or revealed. And it's an incredibly personal and vulnerable place to be, and that to me is I commend and I'm just so amazed by all of these stories. And it's many photographers have just kind of put their heart in a platter and given it to me.
Are you so touched when you ruminate over these and reflect on those moments that you lost? Do they become scolds for you? Do you say I'll never do that again, or are they? Does it pose a different kind of lesson for you?
Well, it's and I. Glad you brought this up. I mean, I think the idea of a moment or experience not existing frozen forever in a single frame allows it this timeless, much huger, broader role in which our memories and experiences as we look back upon them, are constantly changing. They're constantly changing with us and remolded and resculpted by the situations and events that happen thereafter. And so it's kind of this endless, you know, all of these stories encapsulate all of that.
What about the democratization? You know, technology is making it so much easier for people to take photos. Is that a good thing for photography, do you think?
I think that's for another show. But, I mean, we do live in an age now in which there are more than 100 million photos uploaded to Facebook in a single day. You know, and with the advent of relatively good quality cell phone cameras and cheap digital cameras, that more people are taking photographs today than ever before. And, you know, there's many results of that. Which again, you know,
I'm hearing, and not all good.
But in the end, the act of taking a picture, photographing it, has now become something that is a very common practice and something that we can all relate to, no matter who you are or how big a name or smaller name or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. The act of taking a photograph or the act of not taking a photograph, I think are something that it can be understood and felt, and we can all relate to these stories no matter what they resemble.
Will, good to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Will Stacey is the editor of the new book, Photographs Not Taken, a collection of photographers' essays. There's going to be a discussion of the book with several area photographers on March 19th at Flyleaf Books in Chapel Hill at 7 o'clock. That's the state of things for today. Thanks for listening. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.